Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors. Dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Buying the perfect book for a child in your life can be a very special experience for both of you, but it's not always easy to do. This hour, we've asked two of Iowa's independent booksellers to guide us through the best new children's books of the year. With me today, Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. Hello, Barb.
Hi, Charity. How are you?
Very good. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And Sue Davis is with us of River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque. Hello, Sue.
Hi, Charity.
Thank you so much for being here. And we're going to, of course, post this list on our website, iowapublicradio.org, by the end of the day. But get your pen or pencil ready, because I know you're going to want to make a list. And let's go developmentally today. Let's start with the very little kids and move on up to the bigger kids and even the teenagers a little bit later in the hour. But let's start. Barb, I know you've picked some rhyming books. You wanted to share with us some of those ideas that you have?
I'm going to share I'm Just No Good at Rhyming and Other Nonsense for Mischievous Kids and Immature Grown-Ups. Of course, he's wrong, Chris Harris. He's wonderful at rhyming. Here are two examples. Two roads. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by. Since then, I've been completely lost. Thanks for nothing, Robert Frost. A very crabby girl looking at you out of that page. And the other one, the gecko. If ever I find myself holding a gecko, I'll lecko.
Anyway. So a whole book of poetry. And this is a big, thick book. This is not a board book or a little picture book.
And Victoria and I always say, put this on the kitchen table. Start the day with a rhyme. Mess around and let your kids get going on poetry, because it's so much fun. And there aren't that many new compendiums. So this is a really good, if you like Shel Silverstein, this would be a great addition to your collection.
All right. An excellent recommendation. I'm Just No Good at Rhyming and Other Nonsense from Chris Harris. And also thinking of little ones, Sue, I know that you have quite a few board books that you've picked out. You want to pick your favorite?
Well, I would say what I would recommend most, being an Iowa girl, is a trio of farm-themed board books. And we have Noisy Farm, my first sound book, and just any little finger can touch the sound and make the animal say it's what it usually says. Can you make the duck say quack, etc. There's another one with more of a story to it that has a, it's called Big Red Barn. The first one was Noisy Farm. And it has sounds and flaps and lots of fun things. And it's the story of a cat who decides she wants to find a mouse for breakfast. But never fear, the mouse is the chef. And then, not really farms, but a favorite here is Goodnight, Iowa. And it is has mentions many cities in Iowa, including Dubuque. And it's just a fun way to a fun gift for those who aren't familiar with our wonderful state.
Which many small children are not.
Mm-hmm. True.
All right. Noisy Farm, my first sound book, Big Red Barn, and Goodnight, Iowa. Three board book picks. Do you want to pick another poetry book for us, Barb?
No, I'd like to move on, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Shall we go to picture books?
Sure, let's do that.
I love this great big square, Baby Goes to Market by Atanuki, one word author. The cover is bright blue. It has a mother with a big basket on her head, a darling baby, curly, curly hair. And the end papers look like a kente cloth, a little bit bright, very wonderful. Going to market. And what mom doesn't know is that while she's bargaining for things with market sellers, baby is looking around the crowd. So, baby is so curious that Mrs. Ada, the banana seller, gives baby six bananas. And baby's so surprised she eats one and puts the other five in the basket. Of course, mom doesn't know. This happens all around the market. Mom never notices that that basket is being filled with all kinds of things. By the time they get to the end of the market, Mother is saying to herself, poor baby, she hasn't had anything to eat all day. We must be getting home. And, of course, she discovers the basket is full and hasn't noticed that. And poor baby goes to sleep on the way home on the back of the taxi motorcycle with the basket filled to the brim with wonderful food. It is so fun. And it's also a counting book. So I love those things that have that dimension.
Right. And but not necessarily overtly. Not you are learning to count.
Exactly.
Wonderful. It's so colorful. Such a beautiful book. I can imagine that would really capture your attention. Baby Goes to Market by Atanuke. And how about a picture book from you, Sue?
Well, I'll do a combo picture book with one little board book in the new genre of books we're finding on yoga for kids, which I think is a really wonderful way to introduce kids to calming and energizing, depending on what time of day it is. There is, in the picture book field, there's Good Morning Yoga, a Pose by Pose Wake Story, and there's Good Night Yoga, a Pose by Pose Bedtime Story. The simple poses for following the natural world as to come to rest at the end of the day. The board book is called Yoga Bug, and it has 10 little poses that are named after insects that little ones can imitate and start their journey. The final one in that category, there are many more now, but is Zoo Zen, a yoga story for kids. And this is rhyming and counting to learn with parents some yoga poses.
All right. And I'm sure that mom or dad can do those yoga poses along with the little ones, too.
Oh, yes.
I bet that feels good. All right. So that was a bunch here. Good night or good morning yoga, a Pose by Pose wake up story, and good night yoga, a Pose by Pose bedtime story. And then Yoga Bug, simple poses for little ones, and Zoo Zen, a yoga story for kids. All right, Barb, it's your turn.
Well, if Sue doesn't mind, we both have Christmas for Bear on our list, and this is by Bonnie Becker. This is part of a series. The first one was Visitor for Bear. We have sold so many of this series, and this is really one to own. Bear is a total curmudgeon. In this case, he had never had a real Christmas. He'd never had a tree with a sparkling star or candy canes or even gingerbread bears. But he'd read all about it, and clearly the most important thing was pickles. Now, Mouse comes tap, tap, tapping at the door to visit Bear, and Mouse is looking all over the house, which Bear notices. Bear says, no, the Christmas we're having is we're going to sit by the fire and drink our tea, and we're going to have cheese and pickles. Well, Mouse keeps disappearing every time Bear goes to the kitchen, and Mouse is looking for a present. And Bear is not going to let on that he has a present for Mouse. So this continues on in the way that all the books do, where the bear gets louder and louder and more disturbed with Mouse, and not things are just not going his way. And finally, of course, they do both get a present, and Mouse gets a telescope, and Bear gets a sled.
But not a pickle?
And they eat their pickles and okay. cheese, too. Darling, wonderful character. Would you add anything, Sue?
No, just that the whole series is delightful, and curmudgeonly Bear has come a long way. Lovability.
I always love it when our booksellers agree on one. That feels like a double recommendation. And I remember those Bear books started when my daughter was little. I feel behind.
Yeah, there are four or five of them now.
Mm-hmm. Right. All right. Sue, you want to pick another picture book?
Sure. We have a recently discovered, it was actually a couple fragments of stories put together from Margaret Wise Brown. And they have been, in this picture book, they have chosen our adored illustrator, Lauren Long, to illustrate this story. So it has our little Goodnight Moon Rabbit going on an all-day-long adventure. And the same soothing word patterns that you're familiar with from Runaway Bunny and Goodnight Moon exist in this, but the modern scenes that the kids will appreciate, I think, are a much added bonus. For example, we have Good night, morning, world. Good morning, world. Hello, daylight. Good day, everyone. Goodbye, night. To show you it still has that beautiful little soft rhyme. And yet, fun pictures, whole little cities that we can stare at and look at for a long time.
Oh, fun. And for people who are maybe a little tired of reading Goodbye, Goodnight Moon.
right. With its minimal pictures, this is a wonderful companion.
All right. That's Good Day, Good Night, Margaret Wise Brown. Of course, a longtime favorite of many children for a very long time. Barbara, what's next?
I'd like to say I Wrote You a Note by Lizzie Boyd. I love these because they are more subdued. This is a gentle book. The little girl on the front is lying on her stomach in the meadow, and she's writing on a piece of birch bark. She's obviously writing a note to a friend and on this little piece. She's by a stream, and she says, I wrote you a note. Did you find it? And the turtle found the note. He made a sail for his raft, but the raft went too fast, so turtle slipped back into the water. Now, this goes on around the stream with every animal using it for something different and discarding it until finally we get to the place where the friend finds the note. So it's very gentle. And
a fun little journey.
A little journey and beautiful pictures that are, and the paper's even kind of a matte, and it's very lovely. So I think for the gentler souls in the world and lots to look at.
All right. That is I Wrote You a Note, Lizzie Boyd. I think we have time for another quick recommendation from you, Sue.
Okay. I must not neglect my skating. And this is a winter book, and so it works all through the seasons. When you're hot, it's always fun to pull out a winter book. This is a story about a little mouse, Lucy, who loves ice skating. This is by Annie Silvestro, and Tegan White has illustrated it. And we have many of her books and toys that are illustrated prior to this new one, Mice Skating.
All right, Mice Skating by Annie Silvestro, another just beautifully illustrated book. We will be back after a short break with more children's book recommendations from Sue Davis at River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Luther College, offering more than 60 areas of study, including the new data science and neuroscience majors, dedicated to preparing students for success in a changing world.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, it's our annual holiday children's book show. We're getting recommendations for the best new books for children from Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and Sue Davis of River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque. Of course, we will post the complete list online by the end of the day at iowapublicradio.org. But keep taking good notes. There are so many great suggestions here. And we'll do a few more picture books before we move along to some chapter books and even some young adult books and nonfiction books, which always make terrific gifts as well. Let's do a couple more picture books here, though. So, Barb, you go next.
I'm going to do Queen of the Hanukkah Dosas. This is a little bit different because the family is Indian, and the end papers have all gorgeous, colorful pictures of coconut milk and basmati rice and that kind of thing. The story opens with a disgusted older brother who cannot stand that his little sister climbs on everything so much. And she climbs and she climbs and she wrecks everything and she makes messes. And their family tradition is to make these dosas for the holiday. And anyway, of course, the funny thing that happens is they all get locked out when the relatives come. They get locked out of the house. And that wonderful climbing five-year-old is the only one who can fit through the window to let the whole family in. So it's very funny about how families work with the one characteristic that the kid's being put down for is what saves the day in the end and a wonderful holiday celebration.
Now, okay, what's a dosa?
Well, it looks like, I've not had one, it looks like it's almost a flatbread, and it has a recipe in the back, thankfully.
But we're blending cultures here.
We're blending cultures
Indian
here.
Food
absolutely.
That we're talking about, right?
It is. It has rice and dal with split black lentils, fenugreek seeds and another kind of dal and vegetable oil. So it looks like it's in a tortilla kind of thing.
All right. And, and only one shopping week left before Hanukkah. So the Queen of the Hanukkah Dosas by Pamela Ehrenberg. And you're up next, Sue.
Well, let's continue with that kind of holiday diversity.
All right.
A World of Cookies for Santa. Follow Santa's tasty trip around the world. And this book, we kids can follow the trip around the world with Santa to see what treats children from 32 different countries leave out for him. The illustrations are beautiful and bright and intriguing and show a little, you know, kind of a, like there's a little koala in the Australian one, things like that for kids to identify with. And then, once again, recipes in the back.
Oh, fun. That sounds like a lot of fun and inspiring. Lots of time in the kitchen as well. All right. Yeah. World of Cookies for Santa. Follow Santa's tasty trip around the world. M.E. Furman and Susan Gall?
Yep.
All right. Wonderful. How about another picture book from you, Barb?
Okay. This is called Stay. A Girl, a Dog, a Bucket List. The cover is Astrid sitting across the table from her dog, Eli. Eli has aged considerably, and Astrid has been with him since she was a baby. And she has made a little bucket list for him that includes things like a wonderful bath, and she wants to take him for spaghetti at a restaurant, and outside reading under the stars, and mostly just being together. The thing about it is... Eli, you do get the dog's perspective just a little bit. As the weeks pass, Eli is aging, and they just decide to stay home and remember their happy times together. Astrid says, is there anything you want to do before you get too old? Anything. Well, add it to the list, the bucket list. And Eli is thinking, just this. Because being with Astrid was the only thing left on Eli's bucket list. It was the only thing that had ever been on Eli's bucket list.
Okay, thanks for making me cry, Barb.
I know.
Stay, a girl, a dog, a bucket list. I'd be a mess if I read the whole thing. Kate Kleise, K-L-I-S-E.
And her sister. They're a great team.
All right, wonderful. Back to you, Sue.
Well, I have another dog book, but this one is all lighthearted and entertaining. It's a sweet little book. It's only $12.95. And we all know and love the song, Do Your Ears Hang Low?
Mm.
Well, adorable illustrations with a few other added characters make this little rendition a real winner. And there are ear facts at the end that, if I may say, tie it all in a bow.
Nice. Do Your Ears Hang Low, Jenny Cooper. All right, Barb, back
all
to
right.
you.
I have to add, it's hard to pick, you know, the last three. His Royal Highness, King Baby, A Terrible True Story by Sally Lloyd-Jones. We get requests almost every day for sibling books. What to do when the new baby enters the family? Well, you could, and Sally Lloyd-Jones does a particularly good job, but I must say, some people think this is too mean, but it isn't mean. It's hilarious. Once upon a time, there was a happy family, a mom, a dad, and the most beautiful, wonderful, kind, and gentle princess of a daughter. But then one horrible day, a brand new ruler is born. Behold, his terrible, tiny Royal Highness, King Baby. He's so smelly, he's so noisy, and all the talk in the land is about him, nonstop, all the time. Well, this is the first birthday party. All the people arrive, all the aunties and the grandparents, and everybody's coming for the party. And of course, King Baby does not get to have his nap and has a total meltdown. And who saves the day but Big Sister, who gives a big kiss.
Nice.
And everything settles down, and they go
And she
off.
Loves him after all,
and
she
does.
She?
And it's sort of, you know, Julius the Baby of the World was the first one who ever broke ground in this way. And this is much later, but really darling.
And super cute illustrations. Oh. As you were paging through that, it looked like there were illustrations done by Big Sister.
Yes.
Super fun.
Very fun.
All right. His Royal Highness, King Baby, A Terrible True Story by Sally Lloyd-Jones. Another picture book, Sue?
All right. Well, super fun one is a new alphabet book by James Patterson, who we all know well, and his wife, Susan. And this is called Big Words for Little Geniuses. And, of course, all our little ones are geniuses.
Yeah, I can think of a few little egos that would be stroked by that.
Yeah. It has simple but whimsical artwork, and that is by Hsing Pan. It is an alphabet book that uses great big words for every letter of the alphabet. For instance, gobbledygook, catawampus, and some that I would have had to have more time to practice.
Oh, that sounds like fun. It sounds like something that you could have a lot of fun with a little kid, but it even sounds like older kids would have fun going through the book, too.
Definitely. A good big sibling book.
All right. Big Words for Little Geniuses by James and Susan Patterson. Back to you, Barb.
Okay. Now, you just want me to do one more?
We can do two more board books each, all right? It's hard to say. Hard to say no.
Peter Cease wrote Robinson. And many people follow him. He's been a brilliant, really, he's an American treasure now. And this is no exception, although it's a little different than some of his. He's added much more color to his palette. And this is autobiographical. When he was a kid, all of his friends loved to dress as pirates. And a costume party comes to school. And his mom says, you know, why don't you go as Robinson Crusoe, your favorite hero? And so she's a really fabulous seamstress, and she makes him a really fabulous costume. Well, it doesn't work out the way he thinks. Of course, all of his friends are pirates, and they make fun of him. He happens to come down with a fever that same day and goes home and goes to bed. And in his feverish state for the next few days, he becomes Robinson Crusoe on a wonderful island. And he does take care of himself, and he does gain self-assurance, and he becomes the master of his own fate. And sure enough, a few days later, his friends show up at home, and they want to know more about Robinson Crusoe. And all is well, and all is forgiven. But this is an unusual book, and the illustrations are just worth poring over as his usual talent.
All right, Robinson, Peter Cease, and your second-to-last picture book, Sue.
Okay. Well, Mac Barnett and John Klassen have teamed together with another hit. This time it's a mix-up of The Big Bad Wolf and Jonah and the Whale. It's called The Wolf, the Duck, and the Mouse. And the duck and the mouse are inside the wolf having a wonderful time. And believe me, nothing goes as expected. We have the duck saying, I may have been swallowed, but I have no intention of being eaten.
All right. The wolf, the duck, and the mouse. John Klassen and Mac Barnett. And back to you, Barb.
My last one is Sam, the most scaredy cat kid in the whole world.
All right, and this is a follow-up to Leonardo the Terrible Monster, right?
It is.
By Mo Willems.
And it's a large, oversized, tall book, green with purple writing. Mo Willems, another American genius. Everything he touches turns to gold, from Pigeon Drives the Bus to, the
Knuffle
Bunny.
All
those. And this one is Sam, who's the most, he's scared of everything. The news, Jack in the Box, absolutely everything. And he's not scared of his friend Leonardo, the terrible monster, who is terrible. Now, he makes a particularly scary discovery, and that is a little girl named Carrie and her monster friend named Frankenfeller. And both of them freak out, screaming bloody murder with great illustrations. And the thing is, they're not afraid of monsters. They're afraid of each other. The monsters take off and leave them to figure out what to do next. And this is a hilarious way of people solving problems.
All right. Sam, the most scaredy cat kid in the whole world, by Mo Willems. And Sue, you get the last word on picture books.
All right. And a new one out that we can hardly keep on the shelves. I can't even have one in front of me right here. Is Here We Are, Notes for Living on Planet Earth. And this is a Caldecott-worthy illustrations from Oliver Jeffers.
Mm-hmm.
I would be surprised if it didn't win at least an honor this year.
Yeah, I agree.
And what kinds of things are in it?
Well, it is basically a very sweet and gentle story message that is a user's guide to life on Earth. It's an instruction book for becoming a responsible Earthling. It has a cosmic view of things. One of the things that it says that I loved was, people come in many shapes, sizes, and colors. We may all look different, act different, and sound different, but don't be fooled. We are all people.
Nice.
So this is a beautiful story that every Earthling needs to have.
A book for all Earthlings. How can you not add that to your holiday list? All right, here we are. That's the final picture book pick of the day from, there's the author, Oliver Jeffers. All right, so let's talk about, let's do a little bit of nonfiction, I think, here, if you're okay with that, because I think that the nonfiction books often make great gifts for kids of all ages. Barb, do you have a pick?
Yes, many. The Diversity of Life on Earth.
Oh, that pairs nicely with the last book we talked
about.
Yes.
And this is Nicola Davies, who often writes science books for young kids and makes the concept so accessible, besides beautiful. This is gorgeous. A big book with all kinds of animals on the cover in the forest, elephants and giraffe and monkeys, beautiful end papers, with, of course, the message of, you know, we may have discovered 2 million things already, but we haven't discovered everything, and how important it is to keep making sure that we don't get down to one of anything. And she also has another first book of animals out right now, with every animal having a poem, another big sized one. These are just fabulous, and not too much text, but so much to look at and think about.
Nice. Okay. Many, The Diversity of Life on Earth, Nicola Davies. How about do you have a nonfiction pick?
You bet. Something that we have enjoyed hand-selling this year is Strong is the New Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
This is by Kate T. Parker, who has organized a foundation of the same name. And they partner with groups such as Charity May Know Girls on the Run.
Yep.
That promote health and education for young women. These are photographs celebrating kindergartners to high school grads, and they are being fearless, silly, wild, stubborn, proud, and the book shows, it has text as well, that these things are real beauty.
I got that as a present not long ago.
Oh,
it's just
nice.
Fantastic. I think for any girl or woman in your life, that's a wonderful book. All right, another nonfiction
from
you.
Oh, I think this is just fabulous. This is Her Right Foot by Dave Eggers, and it is about our Statue of Liberty. And on the cover is just a picture of the foot, because he points out in the facts about the Statue of Liberty that nobody ever sees a picture of her feet. And there are many, many facts. I bet you didn't know Thomas Edison wanted to put, he wanted the statue to speak. And so he wanted to put a record player in there, but that was poo-pooed, so it didn't happen.
I think that was probably a good idea.
I think that was probably a good idea,
yeah.
Too. But one of the things that that really is the point of this book is that nobody looks at the foot, and the right foot is poised as if she is walking. This is not a statue in place. And the fact of the matter is, he says, she's walking to greet the people who come into the country. And it's mid-stride. It is, the idea is, the theory is, the reminder is, if the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of freedom, if the Statue of Liberty has welcomed millions of immigrants to the United States, then how can she stand still? And so I think a timely and beautiful book.
All right. Let's two more nonfiction books each. All right, Sue?
All right. I'm going to go with Pop, Sizzle, Boom, 101 Science Experiments for the Mad Scientist in Every Kid. With all the STEM and STEAM projects going on, this is a way to have a lot of fun and make a lot of mess.
All right, that does sound fun. Pop, Sizzle, Boom, 101 Science Experience for the Mad Scientist, Amy Euler and Amanda Brack. Barb?
This is a danza, Amalia Hernandez and the El Ballet Folklorica de Mexico. I know we have lots and lots of Mexican population all around us in Iowa and Illinois. This is the story of the woman who She was born in 1917 and started looking at villages and folklore and all kinds of places. She loved dance so much, both ballet and folk dancing. And she started choreographing these famous dances from villages and things that were really traditional. She's no longer living. She died in 2000. But we have many times seen this troupe be performing, and there are troops all over, too, and companies all over that still perform based on her her beginning. So it's a very nice thing there.
All right. Danza Amalia Hernandez and El Ballet Folklorico de México, Duncan Tana Tiu.
Thank you. I didn't say all that.
I didn't do it very well. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're talking about the best new books for kids with Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City and Sue Davis of River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, we're getting recommendations for the best new books for kids this holiday season as the year comes to a close. With me, Sue Davis of River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. And we have two more nonfiction recommendations, then we'll move on into chapter books. And Sue, is it your turn, I think, for another nonfiction? Sue, are you there? I think maybe we've lost Sue.
Are you there?
There you are. Great. So okay. One more nonfiction pick.
Okay. I've chosen Baking Class by Dina F. Cook. And this has detailed illustrations and simple directions. It's just perfect for kids who are wannabe bakers. And they see so many shows on TV now. And this breaks it down so that they are capable of making really fun things. The first part of the book deals with gathering the right tools and stocking up on basic ingredients. It goes through the baking vocabulary, talks about careful measuring and kitchen safety, and then goes on to lots of very fun, delicious-looking recipes, and includes stickers and labels and gift tags and bake sale signs, and a really wonderful book.
All right. Baking Class, 50 Fun Recipes Kids Will Love to Bake, Deanna Cook, aptly named, I guess. And Barb, your final nonfiction word.
My final nonfiction word is don't ever leave out biography for your kids, even if they're older. The picture book biographies are so stupendous. I've got three here, A Boy, A Mouse, and A Spider, the story of E.B. White. 2 years ago, there was a fabulous E.B. White biography. This is for a little bit younger. And, of course, this year, the Whitney in New York is having a great big I'll get to that. Anyway, E.B. White, not to miss. Muddy Waters, what a story of a life. And you know what? When the Beatles came to the U.S., one of the people they wanted to meet was Muddy Waters. And the person they were talking to said, "Who is that?" They couldn't believe that the whole world didn't know Muddy Waters. And the last one is American Gothic, The Life of Grant Wood. The Whitney's doing a big retrospective, huge, in March in New York City. And we have so many connections here with Jim Hayes and Joni Kinsey being such experts on Grant Wood and, of course, living in his house. So this is something to share. The illustrator's done a wonderful job showing and talking about regionalism and why Grant Wood is so near and dear to our hearts.
All right. Three biographies, A Boy, A Mouse, and A Spider, the story of E.B. White. That was clever how you snuck him in there.
I did.
Muddy, the story of blues legend Muddy Waters, and American Gothic, The Life of Grant Wood. Now let's talk about chapter books, which I think are even harder to find for our kids, harder to pick just the right chapter book as the kids get older. Sue, you get to go first.
All righty. First of all, who doesn't love Neil Patrick Harris? Mm-hmm. And he has made his debut chapter book. And this is a story of six misfit magicians using teamwork and magic to save their small town from a crooked carnival owner. And along with the fun story, and this will be a series, This It includes secrets and ciphers and codes and magic tricks.
Ooh, neat. So what grade level do you think?
Well, we're looking at ages 8 to 12 for this. I think I always say in Iowa we can extend younger because of our very wonderful school system. And I enjoyed it thoroughly.
All right.
You can go higher.
All right, perfect. That is The Magic Misfits by Neil Patrick Harris. Pick from you, Barb.
Just a quick one for young. Calpurnia Tate was the hero of two long novels, historical fiction. And now this author, Jacqueline Kelly, has written a smaller series for younger. So kids who can read a chapter book but not take on such a long text. This is Calpurnia, who has learned so much science from her grandfather. This is Who Gives a Hoot. And this, she and her grandfather are in a boat, and they see a barn owl is struggling in the water, and they know he doesn't belong there. They save him, and Calpurnia takes over. This is the third, I think, for this age group, and wonderful, interesting things about animals and nature and so on.
And she's spunky and a whole lot of fun.
Oh, she's spunky.
All right. Back to you. Oh, I should repeat that. Who Gives a Hoot, Calpurnia Tate, Girl Vet by Jacqueline Kelly. Back to you, Sue.
Well, and I will mention that the Calpurnia Tate series is illustrated by Tegan White, who was also the illustrator of Mice Skating.
Oh, nice.
And they're adorable covers and great little novels. I have one here that just became... me just broke my heart open, and yet it's funny, clever. It's about a young teen with a disability having to adjust to a new school, which could be a rehash of typical middle school theme, but it is not. This is Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus. The setting here is a dying Western theme park in Arizona, so that adds to the title a little bit, makes it understandable. This is a fresh telling. It's one of the most honest portrayal that I've read in a long time of young teens as they learn to deal with the emotions and find their strengths, and also they solve a mystery along the way. It's warm but not gooey.
All right. Insignificant Events in the Life of a Cactus, Dusty Bowling. All right.
Yeah, love the name.
Yeah. Back to you, Barb.
Catherine Applegate has written The Wish Tree, and Sue and I both agree this is a fabulous book. It's on both of our lists. This is a small book, but it's mighty. And I guess I love the subtlety. There's humor. This is a tree, Red, who narrates the book. And when I first picked it up, I go, oh, no, I don't want to listen to a tree talking. But you know what? He's wonderful. He's lived 216 years. He's seen it all. He's inhabited by many, many animal families. That's some of the humor of the book. They're very funny the way they name themselves. And he's witnessed this neighborhood in a small town somewhere. And there are two rental houses next to him. And the wish tree aspect is that every May 1st, the whole community writes their wishes on papers and rags and all kinds of things and tie them to Red. And he gets the wish from a little girl who lives in the blue house. Samar is her name. She is Muslim. And she says, I just want a friend. He sees a teen boy come and carve in the tree in huge letters, leave. And he and his crow friend, who's named, a funny name, what is that? Bongo the crow, she's a wonderful friend, decide they're going to take some action. So how they decide to help this family and do something about that is really stupendous. But I must say, of all the books, this is one you could read to a family book. I mean, it's a must-have, and I think it's going to win some prizes, too.
Well, and you mentioned Catherine Applegate. For people who don't know, she's written just some extraordinary books in the last couple of years. Crenshaw is one, The One and Only Ivan, which that was a Newbery book, wasn't it?
Yes.
And she also has some wonderful books for younger readers, too. Is there anything that you want to add to Wish Tree, Sue, since I know you picked it, too?
It was a little slow to start. But then it is the most wonderful story. It has an important message about racism, and everyone should read this book.
All right. Wish Tree, Catherine Applegate. Very strong recommendation from both of you. Another chapter book from you, Sue?
Well, there's a new series with, it's a bright new fantasy from Jessica Townsend called Nevermore, The Trials of Morrigan Crow. And this is the first in the series. It's very diverse in its characters, and I love this world, the physical descriptions, and the society that this author has created, not to mention the magic. One of the fun things about it is that her room changes to suit her mood. Now, wouldn't every teen like that?
Absolutely. It would be great for parents, too, because then you'd know.
Good point.
All right, Nevermore, The Trials of Morrigan Crow. And I know you've got three more chapter books. Can you mention them quickly, and then we'll talk about the young adult books, Barb?
Okay, All's Fair in Middle School is Victoria Jameson, who is well-known for Roller Girl, which also won awards last year.
And is this also a graphic
this
novel?
This is a graphic
like that
novel.
Okay.
And this is an unusual family. They work the Renaissance Fair, although they're not itinerant. They live in one place because her mother runs the store. She's been homeschooled all of her life, and she decides to take on middle school. Well, you can imagine. You find out that, you know, villains and heroes are not always clear. And she runs into many, many challenges, and she herself makes many mistakes. It is... It's really a powerful book. I know it's going to have a great following.
All right. All's Fair in Middle School, Victoria Jameson. Next.
Well, I have, in my list, I've gone on to the young adult.
All right.
And my first one that I'm so excited about is Warcross. And this is by the beloved Marie Lu, who has written many young adult novels, dystopian often. This is high-tech sci-fi thriller, and it's a world where the lines are a little blurred between real life and gaming. And we have Amika Chen as our heroine, and she must sort out her loyalties and discover truth. It is one of those situations where you don't know till the end who the good guys are.
Ooh, all right. So yes. That's in the young adult Warcross, Marie Lu. Another chapter book from you, Barb?
Okay, The Wiz Mob and the Grenadine Kid by Colin Malloy, with artwork by his wife, Carson Ellis. He's a singer-songwriter for the Decemberists. They did The Wildwood Chronicles, which was another wonderful trilogy. This is a very unusual book. Charlie is an ambassador's son living in Marseille. He's been living all over the world in very, very wonderful circumstances, but Charlie is bored to tears. He doesn't like the group he meets there. He doesn't like the kids of other diplomats. He's sitting on a bench writing little stories, watching people, and a young boy sits next to him. And Charlie discovers very quickly that his pen is missing. And he runs after the pickpocket, catches up with him, and of course he's awed by his skills. And what he wants is to be taught all those skills, which he is taught. And as much as he loves it, and it brings a lot of novelty and fun to his life, he's in big trouble. And it goes way off the rails. And this is very exciting and a very interesting look at the underworld that has kids being the thieves and bad guys.
All right. The Wiz Mob and the Grenadine Kid by Colin Malloy. And another young adult novel from you, Sue?
Well, it was just announced the NBA win. Oh, and I must say, that's National Book Award. Not sports. That's, you know, for us.
Another show.
Right. Is Far From the Tree. And I haven't even finished this yet, and I'm so involved with these characters. It is an interweaving story of three siblings that were separated in infancy. Sounds kind of typical, but this is so well written. Any adult would love this book. And I always enjoy selling high-quality young adult books to grown-ups.
And we enjoy reading them.
Yeah.
I sold this one yesterday.
Far From the Tree by Robin Benway.
Yes.
All right. And what's next for you?
Next is Jason Reynolds, Patina. This is the second in his series that is really a sports series about running track. And Patina is a young girl. She happens to go to a very fancy-smanchy private school. She's on a very elite track team. She's the only African-American. And in the school, practically, she has a lot of struggles. But the first thing is she gets second place in a race, and she's so down on herself and down in the dumps that she doesn't even cheer on her other teammates. The coach points out right away, listen here, Buster, you don't get to sit over there and lick your wounds. You need to be out there cheering your other teammates on. And this is really about Patina learning to deal with her own anger and her own disappointments in life. She does have a supportive family, but she doesn't get to live with her mom. And it is, Jason Reynolds is just prolific and wonderful to read. I mean, everything he writes is just wonderful. So this has got two more in the series to follow, and I wouldn't miss it.
All right, Patina by Jason Reynolds, and you got me to buy Ghost by Jason Reynolds last year on this show. So
this is the second one.
All right, he's going to try to do one a year. He is prolific.
He is prolific.
All right, I think you have one more young adult novel, Sue.
Yeah, this is number two, Following the Reader by Tracy Chi, and this is the Sea of Ink and Gold's series, and it's so well written. The teens are on the run in a magical world, pretty typical adventure, but these teens have a way of getting into our hearts, and yet we are cheering for them as they face a lot of obstacles and have to accept dark truths about their past.
All right. The Speaker by Tracy Chi. This is a follow-up, you said, to The Reader?
Yes.
Is this a trilogy, or do you know how far we're going with this?
I'm sure there will be a third. I don't know how far after that.
All right. And back to you, Barb. You've got a couple left on your list.
So. I do. The Explorer by Catherine Rundell is a survival story. And you know what? I get asked almost every time I'm working, all right, I need a book like Hatchet. Gary Paulson, Will Hobbs being the great survival writers. This is for a little younger crowd. Four kids who don't really know each other crash in the Amazon jungle, and it's probably 1960 is my guess. And, of course, they learn all kinds of things. And the fun part of it is how they look at how the monkeys get honey out of a hive, and they learn how to not be stung and all kinds of ways that they do survive and learn about themselves. And so, as I say, it could go down to 9-year-olds maybe and probably won't be of interest to late teens. But I think that middle range, it's finally another survival book.
Nice. Well, those are very popular in my household. The Explorer by Catherine Rundell. And we are out of time. We made it all the way through Sue's list and almost all the way through yours, Barb. That's
but Charity,
amazing.
We didn't get to Wonder Woman. And we didn't get The Book of Dust by Philip Pullman. My gosh, we can't miss those.
All right. Barb Stein, thank you so much. And Sue Davis, thank you.
Always a pleasure.
Sue Davis of River Lights Bookstore in Dubuque and Barb Stein of Prairie Lights Bookstore in Iowa City. And, of course, we will post this list online by the end of the day at iowapublicradio.org. So much great reading to do. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.